There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide, where hope and love I ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in all of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you. I owe all to you, Jesus. There's a place where sin and shame are powerless, where my heart has peace with God and forgiveness, where all the comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in all of you. I'm in all of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you. I owe all to you. I owe all to you. I owe all to you, Jesus.
Go ahead and be seated, and we'll have a word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you. Thank you, Lord God, that we woke up this morning in America. I thank you, Lord God, for probably everybody in this room has lived their entire life in the greatest nation in the world. Father, it didn't have to be that way. We could have been born anywhere. We could have been born in Russia, could have been born in China, could have been born in one of the impoverished nations across this planet, but you chose and you allowed us to be born in America. We thank you for that. Father, we know that our country is not perfect. We certainly know it's not what it used to be, but Father, there's so many great things that you've brought to us, Lord, as a nation. And one of those, and primarily, is our freedom. Father, it's been given to us by you, and there have been men and women throughout the years that have fought, and some given the ultimate sacrifice so that those freedoms would remain. And I pray, Father, that there's any leader across our nation that might be trying to undermine those freedoms and those liberties that we've been afforded, that you would just remove them from office quickly. Father, for those that stand for you, your righteousness, and for what our country was built upon, I pray, Lord God, that you would give them effective leadership and long-term leadership. Father, we're thankful to be in your house this morning, Lord, that half our people are gone. It's going to take us a while, Father, to rebuild, but I pray that you'll work in the hearts and the minds of your people to do that work. Father, for those that are still somewhat fearful, Lord, we pray that in time you would give them the desire to come back. I know they have it now, Lord, but you would give them the confidence to come back and be with us. And Father, we want to get our kids back here on Wednesday night. There's so many things I want to see happen, Father, and I know you want to see happen. So I pray that you'd give us the grace and the strength to do so. Father, be merciful to Bobby. God, please be merciful and let Bobby get healed from this pneumonia and all that he's dealing with. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing with Teresa and the progress that's been made. We pray for Miss Rose, Lord, there in the hospital. I pray for for Susan Mahira and Lord and battling with cancer. I pray for Foy back here and his struggles with cancer. I pray, Father, there's so many. God, we know you hear our prayers. We thank you, Lord God, for the day you've given us to serve you here in your house. And we thank you for those that are here and those that might be watching from home on live stream or the internet or whatever it may be. And Father, bless us now, and I pray your anointing over me as I communicate the word of God. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 15, and I'm going to roll pretty quickly here. With Memorial Day in mind, I would like to use the word remember as kind of the theme for our message this morning. You've heard me say many times over the course of my years here that we humans are slow learners and that we have very short memories. And what I mean by that is God the Father sometimes, oftentimes, allows us to go through very trying times. He allows us to go through hardships in order to teach us something. Maybe we have sinned persistently and He wants to put it to a stop, and so He allows those hardships to get our attention. Maybe we've taken our eyes off God for some time and we're not giving Him the commitment and the dedication that we used to, and so He may perhaps be trying to get our attention through a trial. Maybe we've taken Him for granted and He's simply trying to gain our appreciation and our thankfulness. Perhaps we become arrogant and He just wants to humble us and get us back on our knees. Whatever the case is, He wants us to learn. He wants us to gain from the hardship and the trial that we go through. Out of love and concern for us, He allows those things to come our way to teach us something. But unfortunately, sometimes we don't learn the lesson. Unfortunately, we don't get it the first time around, even the second time around, perhaps not even the third time around. And so we go round and round and round and round, and that's what I mean by being slow learners. And then sadly, we may learn our lesson, we may get our business straight, we may correct our faults and get lined out, only to be quick to forget. To maybe forget the pain of the trial that we went through, maybe forget the commitments that we made when we were despairing and wanting out of that trial, maybe just to forget the gracious hand of God that brought us through that trial and put us on solid ground again, but we just have short memories sometimes. This morning I just want to give you a list, a short list, if you will, of things that are very important for us to remember. Now, when I use the word list, it very easily could alarm you and say, the preacher's got a list. Okay, we're going to be here for a while. Not so. It's a short list, and I'll spend a brief amount of time on each point. But actually, it's a list that God gives us, not a list that I put together. It's a list that God gives us in His Word. And each of the verses that I will give you this morning, and they'll all be on the screen, but you've turned in your Bibles to Deuteronomy 15, each one of them is going to have the word remember. So God has given us this list. God's saying, here are things I want you to always remember. Let's begin in verse 15 of Deuteronomy chapter 15. And it says, and thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Therefore I command thee this thing today. We are to remember how great our salvation is. Now, let me explain what's going on here. You may or may not be familiar with the story in the first several books of the Old Testament, but the story of the people of Israel. They were God's people, God's chosen children, and they were in Egypt for some time. And I'm going to summarize the story very quickly. For 400 years, they had been enslaved to the Egyptians. They lived in bondage day after day, year after year. They were under the burden of hard labor and the tyranny of evil pharaohs, and it was just a miserable existence. Never a day of freedom. Never a day of liberty to go and do as they pleased. They had evil taskmasters that lashed them on. But what happened was, after 400 years, God saw their plight. And through a series of miracles, he broke the grip that Egypt had upon them. And they were allowed to go free, and they were given a new life with liberty to serve God and have him call the shots in their life. And they were also given great promises of a land, a promised land that he was going to ultimately take them to. And so God just, he redeemed them. He saved them, if you will. He didn't promise it was going to be a easy life. He didn't say, hey, folks, this is going to be a bed of roses, but he did give them purpose, and he gave them a sense of fulfillment in their lives as opposed to the mundane, monotonous life of slavery they had back in Egypt. Now, if you've not yet become that much of a student of the Word of God, I would just tell you that you ought to read the book of Exodus, and you'll get this story, and you'll begin to understand it. But my point is this morning that this whole story of Israel's salvation is a picture of our salvation. We were once enslaved to sin. We were once day after day, year after year, living a life apart from God, under the tyranny of Satan in this world. And it may have seemed okay at times, but ultimately there was no real purpose to our lives. There was no real sense of fulfillment. But God brought us out of that. God redeemed us from that through His Son Jesus Christ. And He gave us new life. He gave us a fresh start. He gave us a life of freedom from our sins. And it's not going to be an easy life, but it's going to be a life of purpose. It's going to be a life of fulfillment. And it's also a life of promise. Amen. Eternal promises. And we must always remember how great that salvation is. Here's what happens, folks. I've been a Christian now for 31 years. It's hard to believe that. I've been a Christian long enough that if I'm not careful, I can get forgetful of just how amazing His grace is. 3 decades might bring me to a point where I might take lightly that salvation. I might take for granted the free pardon of sin. I might easily forget how bad or difficult or empty life was when I didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. In those early years, folks, there was no risk. I'm telling you, if you knew me, my wife can attest to this. When I got saved, those early years, I was on fire for the Lord. I loved to go to church. I still love to go to church, by the way. But I had a passion. I couldn't wait for church activities. I couldn't wait for the preacher to say, we're doing this, we're doing that. I just was so glad to be saved. I was constantly amazed by grace. Many of you people have been saved much longer than me. Certainly some many decades longer than me. But we dare not become presumptuous and forget how great our salvation is. God says, remember your salvation. Our second one is found in Exodus chapter 20. Don't take time to turn. I mean, you're welcome to. I certainly don't oppose it. But just to keep rolling here, God says in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We should always remember the Lord's Day, folks. Without going into a great amount of detail about this, the Old Testament Sabbath was a Saturday, the last day of the week. And God commanded them to set aside that day for Him. He says in this verse, He says, keep it holy. That word holy means set apart. So God's saying, remember it and keep it set apart for me. This was a day of rest for God's children. It was a day of worship, a day of prayer, a day of families being together in their homes. And this was commanded of them. It was commanded. But after the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, things changed because after His death, burial, and resurrection, the New Testament Scripture teaches us that we are to observe the first day of the week, which is Sunday. Now, why is that? It's because that's the day the Lord rose. So essentially, Sunday is our Sabbath. Now, the Bible doesn't, in New Testament, refer to it as a Sabbath. It refers to it as the Lord's Day. You don't ever hear me say anything about the Sabbath particularly. I talk about the Lord's Day. It's Sunday. It's the Lord's Day. But it is still to be remembered. It's to always be remembered. God designed and built into our life schedule a one day a week, one day a week of maintenance, if you will. He's not trying to bind us to some great burden of having to devote a day to Him, but rather He's generously giving us a day to be spiritually refreshed, to get physically rested, and to even mentally get rejuvenated. Away from the world, away from work and at home with our families, and it's supposed to be a great day. Again, God's not trying to cram us into a legalistic deal that, oh, it's Sunday, I can't drive my car, or oh, it's Sunday, I can't go with my family to the park. That's not it. Some people even have to, in our society, work on Sundays, but what He's saying here is remember the Lord's day. Don't take it lightly. And folks, sadly, this day is being forgotten in our society. Increasingly so, as the days go by. Sunday has just become just another day to so many. Just another day of the week. Too many people, there's no rest, there's no worship, there's no church, there's no family. It's just business as usual. And we dare not fall prey to that mindset. If we have any choice, folks, any choice at all in the matter, we should be in the house of God on Sunday. You say, well, you're the preacher. That's what this is all about. No, I'm telling you, if I weren't a preacher, I would still say, take your families to church on the Lord's Day. It's still the Lord's Day, always has been the Lord's Day. It never changes. I don't care if Walmart's open. I don't care if the circuits is in town and it's open. I don't care what's open. The house of God is open. Amen. And we ought to be there. Clearly, our recent situation has hindered that. We're slowly putting that behind us, and I'm thankful for that. But God's Word has not changed. He says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And I'll tell you this. I really appreciate our president and his words regarding this subject. He refers to it as houses of worship. And he says we need to get them open. His focus and his desire is to push to get them open. And you got to love that, folks. If you don't love anything else about him, you got to love that. And I appreciate our commander-in-chief doing just that. Our next point is Numbers chapter 15 and verse 40. We'll read the verse. God says, that ye may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God. Simply put, God's saying, remember my commandments. You mean all 10 of them? God means all 10 of them and every other commandment that falls under that umbrella. That's our problem sometimes, folks. We take most of the commandments serious, but not all of them. We take, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. Man, that's word. That's command. But then we can become pretty flexible on some of the others. God says, remember. Notice what the verse says there. He says, and that ye may remember and do all my commandments. It doesn't give us much room to pick and choose, does it? God doesn't say that ye may do some of my commandments or do most of my commandments or part of my commandments. He says that ye may do all of my commandments. And as we read the Bible, and we discover His Word, we find out what those commandments are, and we discover that each one of them has purpose. God's not trying to crash our party. He doesn't give these commands to be demanding and difficult and narrow-minded and hard to work with. He gives them to keep us out of trouble. He gives them to keep us clear of heartache and pain. He gives them to keep us as a society from killing one another and becoming an evil society. He teaches us to be kind. He teaches us to be humble. He teaches us to be generous and truthful and honest. Let me ask you a question. Aren't our lives better when we are doing those things? Amen. Of course they are, because God's commands are good for us. Isn't our society a much better place when more and more people are doing those things? Of course it is. God's not trying to be a killjoy or a tyrant of any kind. He's commanding us to do these things. His commands are a blessing to us to make our life better. But you know, we tend to kind of figure that maybe they're kind of optional sometimes. We tend to make some different categories for each one of them. Thou shalt not kill. Now that's a command. Yeah, I agree with that. But bring ye all ye tithes into the storehouse. Well, that's more of a suggestion. Or not look upon another woman to lust after her. Well, that's just a recommendation. Not backbite or gossip or slander. Well, that's pretty good advice. No, they're all commandments. They're all commandments. It doesn't work that way. We don't get to define which ones are good for us and which one are not. All of God's word is good for us. He says, remember my commandments. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 2. First part of the verse, and it says, thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Now we're going to stop right there. He says, remember the 40 years in the wilderness. Now we're going to go to Deuteronomy 29 in verse 5. He gives a little more detail about those 40 years in the wilderness. He says, and I have led you 40 years in the wilderness, and your clothes are not waxing old upon you, and thy shoe is not waxing old upon thy foot. You know what he's saying? After having been redeemed out of Egypt, after I saved you, you spent 40 years in a desert. And during that time, I was teaching you, I was shaping and molding you into the person or the people that I wanted you to be before you get to enter the promised land. And those were very difficult times for God's people, by the way. They were trying times. They were times of testing their faith and their obedience. And God's children were just put through some trials, if you will. And it was sometimes mundane. And it was sometimes monotonous. But through all of that 40 years, God was always there and He never failed to provide for them. And my point is this. We've got to remember God's provision, folks. When God says, remember, your shoes didn't wear out and your clothes didn't wear out, God's not, He's not speaking to them and saying they didn't have a closet full of clothes. And they didn't have a big shoe rack. They had what was on their back. And God's saying, and those in a 40-year period didn't wear out. The shoes that you wore every day didn't wear out in 40 years. You know what His point is? He's saying, my hand of provision, my miraculous power took care of you. Folks, I don't know about you, but I'm hard on shoes. Everybody in my house knows them. If I get a new pair of shoes within a month, they look worn out because I'm a big fella and I move a lot and I'm just hard on shoes. Folks, can you imagine a pair of shoes last 40 years? That's God's provision. That's the way God took care of them. And when he's saying here, remember those 40 years, he's saying, remember how I took care of you. Remember all the things that I did to sustain you. And we've got to learn that. We've got to remember ourselves how to trust God and allow Him to take care of us when things are tight, when things are uncertain, when we're wondering how it's all going to work out. We've got to remember His past provision. Well, it worked out that before. He got us through it that time. He's going to get us through it this time. We got to learn to call upon His name and show our dependence upon Him and say, God, we're not going to be able to do this on our own. God, we've got to have you during this difficult time. Now, on top of that, we ought to be diligent. We ought to work hard. We ought to be responsible. We ought to do our part. We can't be lazy. We can't be irresponsible. But beyond that, we've just got to trust God. We were just put through a test, a very brief test, by the way. Folks, I'm going to tell you something, and I hope you don't take offense to this. We're spoiled. I'm spoiled. Many of you are spoiled. I'm not going to say all of you, because perhaps maybe you're not. But many of you are spoiled, and most of America is spoiled. I'm talking about spoiled rotten. It's not good enough to just have food in our stomachs. We want it cooked for us at Chili's. I'm telling you. It's not good enough to just have a roof over our heads. We need 3,500 square feet and a nice home over our head. And I'm not against nice homes. I have a nice home. It's not good enough to have the clothes on our back. We need designer clothes, and we need them dry cleaned, by the way. You see, we're spoiled rotten. If we don't have all these things that we think we need to have, we think we're not well provided for. We think we've got it hard. I don't know how God keeps from killing us, folks. I honestly do not. We're so spoiled and so unappreciative. And can you imagine how God feels when we whine and we pout and we grumble and we fret and we complain about our plight? When we feel sorry for ourselves, when we think, woe is me, I do not know what keeps God from totally withdrawing his hand from and just letting America just have their way. I don't know how he does. Let me show you what the Israelites did. We got our next verse is going to be found in Numbers chapter 11, verse 5. After God had miraculously and very mercifully saved them and brought them out of the bondage of Egypt. Did they remember that? No. Here's what they remembered. They said, we remember the fish which we did eat back in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. You know what they're saying? They're whining about God's provision in the wilderness, and they're saying, we remember back in Egypt, man, we had fresh salmon. We had trout, we had catfish Fridays. And salad, boy, cucumbers and leeks and boy, the best salads and spices. Man, back in Egypt, we used to have so much. You see what they're doing? That had to be a slap in the face of God. His provision. For all that time, out in the middle of nowhere, all of those people, he took care of them. It just had to be an affront to him for them to say this right here. Remember, we remember what it was like back in Egypt. Folks, I'm not sure sometimes that we're any better. We just went through a crisis. It was serious, no doubt. I certainly don't make light of it. But it was mild. It was very mild compared to what it could have been. It pales in comparison to what many generations past had to endure and go through. And you know that during the course of it, we were panicking over toilet paper. I mean, it's silly. That was hardship, wasn't it? That was trying times. That was touch and go. I don't know how we're going to make it. Because there's no Charmin on the shelves. I'm certainly not making light of this situation, folks. Because you know, if you've been with me every Sunday through this, I took it very serious. Continue to take it serious. Don't know that we're out of the woods yet, okay? I don't know. It's not my call. I take it serious, but we don't know hardship. We don't know hardship. The loss of life, the thousands upon thousands that died, and they were literally thousands. It's not fake. It wasn't made up. Thousands died, folks. Many of them are precious. Most of them are precious elderly. Okay? I don't make light of that. My heart goes out to those families. My heart goes out to small businesses. People that have lost what they've spent years building. It's sad. My heart goes out to those that have become unemployed and they certainly should be concerned about them and pitied. But by and large, for heaven's sake, the government threw $3 trillion at American people whether they need it or not. That's equivalent to if you drive by the federal office real slow with your window down, we'll throw money in your window. That's what it was equivalent to. And we call it hardship. We're forced to stay home for several weeks with our big screen TVs, our iPads, and our cell phones. It was horrible, wasn't it? Just horrible. Folks, if that's our idea of suffering and hardship, then we ought to sit down and write apology letters to each and every American veteran that ever fought in a war. We should say, I'm sorry. I'm dreadfully sorry. We should write a letter to Grandma and Grandpa and Great-Grandma and Grandpa and all the generations past that made this country great. Amen. Through depression, through the Dust Bowl, through soup lines, through pandemics, through world wars, through a civil war, and through everything else. Amen. Folks, we're spoiled rotten. Amen. You've heard me preach through the course of this deal, and I've tried to stay as neutral as possible as I can because I don't let Fox News tell me how to think. I certainly don't let CNN tell me how to think. I don't let talk radio tell me how to think. I let God tell me how to think. Okay? And you've heard me stay pretty neutral through this. But folks, I'm scared we haven't learned from this. I'm fearful that Americans have not learned through this. And I don't want to be a slow learner. And I don't want to be quick to forget. As a church, I beg of you. America's opening up, okay? That's good. Praise God. I think it's the right thing, okay? I don't have any issue with that. But we're moving on with our lives now. Please, 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 we as a people, don't lose sight of the things that we were learning early on in this when we were scared to death. I was never scared to death, but you know what I'm talking about. Please. God is just as important today as He was 6-7 weeks ago when we're saying, is the world coming to an end? His church is still important. Humbling ourselves before Him as a nation is still just important, just as important. Please remember it's God's hand. And I'm telling you, $3 trillion in one quarter of a year is gone. America can't do that. I'm getting on a soapbox now. America, boy, howdy. They can't do that every quarter to save America. They can't throw $3 trillion every quarter to save America. We've got to look to God. Amen. We've got to look to God. We're in trouble, folks, if we think that every time we have a pickle, that government's going to save us. God's the only one. I thank God for our president. I thank God for our leaders across the nation. But they're just people. God's on His throne. Please, as a church, friends, don't be a slow learner. And don't be quick to forget. I had one more, but I'm going to just tell you it and go on. We cannot forget that sin doesn't pay. Quick verse, Deuteronomy 24, verse 9. It says, remember what the Lord thy God did unto Miriam, by the way. Quick, Miriam rebelled against God, rebelled against her brother Moses, tried to set herself up as what she wanted to be. She was rebellious. And God struck her with leprosy. The point is, remember, sin never pays, friends. I'm going to ask you to stand. Heads are bowed. God's spoken to your heart. Please, friends, bow before Him. If you can't come to this altar, bow before Him in your pew or your seat and humble yourself before Him and say, God, I am just as committed and I'm just as dedicated today as I was 6 weeks ago when I had fear struck into me. Beg and plead for our nation to turn to God. For revival to come across this land. God's spoken to your heart. You can come to this altar. I'm here if you'd like for me to pray for you about anything. Just like